Well, first of all, tonight, thank you for moving to the center. Y'all just look so much better, all right here in the middle. And my neck will feel a whole lot better when I go home tonight than having to do this all night long. But thank you. Yeah, y'all look good, and nobody bites, so thank you for doing that. Let me go ahead and tell you, next Wednesday night, we will be in Psalm number 40. Psalm 40, great psalm. We'll talk about out of Psalm 40 what to do when life don't go your way, okay? And we'll see what David had to do. And I got one other thing, and then we're going to get to our Psalms. You can be turning to the back of the book of Psalms, 146 through 150 tonight. One of the good things about what I get to do as an interim is I get to go into churches and try to help. And my favorite thing to do is preach. But I also get to go in and just make recommendations and help. And sometimes I get asked for recommendations and help, and sometimes I don't. But I still tell folks what to do. And I've been at this a long, long time, and I've watched churches over the years struggle and grow, and churches that have done well and churches that have not done well. And there are some things sometimes that churches have done for so long, they don't realize it needs to change. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you what that is tonight, and I'm not going to take any time to do it, but I'll be glad to discuss it at a later time. Y'all really need to change your business meetings. I'm serious. I do not know a church that still does monthly business meetings. I'm just going to tell you. In fact, for a lot of people looking for churches, that's a turnoff. There's a lot of ways you can keep up with things like finances, which is important for you to do as a church. There's a lot of ways you can account to the church for matters that need to be accounted to the church. And there are obviously times the church needs to have business meetings, but not once a month. So you can take that for what it's worth. If you like it, I'll be glad to talk to you about it. If not, you can blame Richard. He told me to do that tonight. So anyway, Richard did not. I asked permission to say that this evening. Well, Psalm 146 to Psalm 150, five psalms in once. And the reason I'm doing this tonight is obvious. And if you have read these psalms, which I'm sure most of you have, probably most of you have done so recently, you understand the reason for doing this. I'll introduce these psalms tonight by asking a simple question. What's the main theme of the book of Psalms? And if you had to summarize it in one word, it would be praise. Praise. The book of Psalms is a hymn praise book. It is a book of praise to God. And in the Psalms, God teaches us how to praise Him and why we are to praise Him. And all through those 150 verses, time and time again, He brings us back to this main topic of praise. When you look at our Psalms for tonight, and obviously we're not going to read all of them, we won't deal with all of them verse by verse, but you go through it, you'll notice that the psalmist, as he writes these psalms, and I'm not so sure that God didn't allow this to be put in this order to remind all of us as you read through this book of Psalms of this primary importance of praise in the life of the believer and how much he wants to be praised. Every one of these last five psalms start the same. Did you notice? 146, praise the Lord. 147, praise the Lord. 148, praise the Lord. 149, praise the Lord. 150, praise the Lord. In the Hebrew language, it translates this way, Hallelujah, Yahweh. These psalms are psalms of praise to God. These five psalms are also what we call envelope or envelope psalms. They begin and end in the same manner. And just to make sure you didn't miss it, he ends these psalms in the same way that he started these psalms. Psalm 146, what does it say? Praise the Lord. 147, praise the Lord. 148, praise the Lord. 149, praise the Lord. 150, praise the Lord. Now, why do you think God repeated himself 10 times in these five psalms? Huh? He wanted us to praise him. Did you get the message? And the Bible is clear on how God, how much he inhabits our praises, and how much we are to praise him. Well, there's 100 ways we could go about these Psalms tonight, but what I want to do, I want to introduce one of the Psalms to you to tell us who we are, who is to praise God. But then I want to take all five of these Psalms, and I want to share with you what I believe these Psalms teach us about how we are to praise the Lord. Psalm 148, verses 1 through 12. I'm not going to take the time to read the entire psalm, but what you would find here in these verses that God really tells us through David that there are two groups of people that are to praise him. He tells us, first of all, that all creation is to praise him. And you see that from verses 1 all the way down through verse 12. He talks about the creatures of the sea, talks about all created matter on this earth. All creation is to praise God. And then he also goes on in this psalm to tell us all creatures are to praise God. In other words, God has made his creation to give him the glory and praise that he and he alone deserves. And folks, if you stop and think about that, time and time again in the scriptures, we are commanded to praise God, and we're told of how God's creation even brings him praise. We looked at this psalm sometime back, Psalm 19, verse 1. It says, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hands." In other words, you look at God's creation, and it shouts praise to God. I think I told you when we were going through Psalm 19 of the time that I was, we were on the big island of Hawaii, way above all the lights and all the mist from the ocean and all, and we were on this perfectly clear night. And when we got out of the car, I almost knocked me to my knees at how clear it was and the Milky Way. I've never seen the Milky Way like you could see it that night. You can't see it in Atlanta like that. In fact, you're lucky if you even know it's up there in Atlanta when you look up. But boy, not out there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean at about 4,000 feet altitude. It was stunning. And what did it do? It declared God's greatness. It declared God's glory. All his creation, all his creatures are made to praise him and to bring him glory. Luke 19, verses 37 to 40, since we're coming into the Easter celebration this week, it says this: "As soon as he," speaking of Jesus, "was approaching Jerusalem near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began praising God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' They praised God. But then it says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.'" And I love what Jesus had to say to them. "But Jesus answered and said, 'I tell you, if these, my disciples, my children, my people, if these become silent, the stones will cry out.'" And folks, I really never caught the significance of that until the first time I went to Israel. And if you travel through the nation of Israel, do you know what you see? You see one huge pile of rocks. That's all that's there, it seems like. The mountains are nothing but rocks. Rocks are everywhere. So you see the significance of it when Jesus says, if my people don't praise me, even the rocks are going to cry out in praise. He wants a lot of praise, and he's deserving of such. That's why God has created us, to give us the praise and the glory that he's deserving of. I also remember the verse, and I think I mentioned this when we were going through Psalm 19. Romans 1, verses 18 to 20. These verses are powerful verses. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident." And then he says this in explaining the statement that he just made: "For since the creation of the world, his," God's invisible attributes, "his eternal power, his divine nature has been clearly seen." Now, how was it seen? "Being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." In other words, no one will ever be able to stand before God in the judgment and say, I did not know there was a God. And Paul argues by saying, you ought to be able to look at all creation and know that there was a God who created it. You cannot say you did not know there was a God. Now, you may choose to say that, but you're doing it at your own ignorance and in your own folly. You look around, all God's creation was created to give him praise and glory. And as his creatures, the psalmists tell us that we are to give him praise and glory. Look at Psalm 147, verse 1. I love this verse. Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is becoming. So let me ask you something tonight. Who is praise becoming to? It's becoming to God. In other words, what he's saying here is that God loves it when his people praise him. That's what we've been created for. On this side of the cross, it's what we've been redeemed for. We are to praise God. I love Psalm 22, verse 3. It says, yet you are holy, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. One version puts it, you inhabit the praises of Israel. Another version puts it this way, where you praise me, God shows up. We talked about this past Sunday about being our worship service ought to be that which attracts the presence of God. Do you know what attracts the presence of God in a worship service? Praise. And when God's people begin to praise him by the heart, through the heart, with heart, he shows up. It's praise that opens up the very presence of God. And we're told that time and time and time again throughout the Word of God, and particularly through the book of Psalms. Well, let's take these Psalms real quickly tonight, and let me ask the question and answer it. How are we to praise the Lord? And I'll see if I can get through those seven things I've got listed for you tonight. You see these in these verses here in these seven Psalms. You see it in other places throughout the Psalms. Number one, I am to praise him with my whole life, with all my life. That's how I'm to praise him. And can I tell you tonight that if you don't offer God your entire being, you can never praise him as you should. It starts as we praise him with all of our life. Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Actually, the first part of that verse could say, I will praise the Lord with my life. Hey, how are you to praise God? You're to do it with your whole life. Totally surrender to him. Yielded to him. Your whole being. Hey, God's not interested in people who are half committed to him, praising him occasionally. He's looking for people who will praise him with their whole life. It ought to be just natural. It's not just something you do in church on Sunday, even though you certainly should do it in church on Sunday. It ought to be something you do just as much on Monday as it is on Sunday. Friday night, just as much as it is on Sunday. You praise him with your whole life. I love Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. By the way, you do know that that verse teaches us that the proper time to ask the blessing is after dinner, not before dinner. Think about it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his name. Some of you will get that a little bit later on. What he means there is simply this. Everything that's in my body, everything that's in me, within me, my whole being, praise the Lord. Even in the New Testament, Hebrews 13:15, through him then, let us offer up, continually offer up, a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that gives thanks to his name. I am to praise God with my whole life, my full life. Number two tonight, I am to praise the Lord with singing. I am to praise the Lord with singing. Psalm 147, verse 1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to God, for it is pleasant, and praise is becoming. You can't say it enough. One of the best instruments God's ever given us as humans to be able to praise him is with music, with our voice, with singing. And even if you can't carry a tune in the bucket, it doesn't matter to God. He says, make a joyful noise. It doesn't say it has to be on key. He's looking for people who will sing to him. And I don't know of anything that I've enjoyed more in ministry over these years than to watch people who really enjoyed singing to God. And when they were singing in the worship of God's people, you could tell it was from the heart to God himself. We've been commanded to do that. Praise through music. Psalm 135, verses 1 to 3, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, praise him, O servants of the Lord. You who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely. God loves the singing of his people. That's how we praise him. Even when you come to the New Testament, you find that we're instructed about singing to the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 16, and also you find almost the exact verse in Ephesians 5. Colossians 3, 16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within me. And then Paul explains how you do that with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. By the way, from a New Testament standpoint, you see three distinct types of songs. He says, first of all, sing psalms. And that's basically taking God's word and singing it. And there's no better lyrics that can be sung to God than to sing back to him his word. If you want to know the best way to memorize verses of scripture, find a song that teaches you to sing back to the Lord that very verse of scripture. Singing scripture pleases the heart of God. Then he says, sing hymns. Now, let me again tell you what that does not mean. That doesn't. Remember, Paul did not write Amazing Grace. What is a hymn? A hymn is a song that teaches us about the nature and attributes of God. They are normally doctrinal in their presentation, but they teach us about the very nature and character of God. And that's how songs ought to be songs that we sing that teach us about God. Now, would Amazing Grace fit that category? Absolutely. One of my favorite older hymns would have been, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Well, does that teach us anything about God? Certainly it does. But we sing modern hymns today that do. And I know I'm not meaning to get in this debate tonight, but even a lot of the modern courses that we sing, many of them today teach us about the nature of God. Not all of them, but many of them do. That is a hymn. We're going to sing one at the end of the service Sunday morning. That is a more modern hymn that does a phenomenal job of teaching us about what Jesus did on the cross for us. And through the resurrection, we'll wait and see what that's going to be. And then he says spiritual songs. Spiritual songs is anything that is sung that is spiritual in nature, to God, about God, for God. And we're to sing to the Lord. God is pleased with the praise of his people. They're sung unto him. Thirdly tonight, I praise God by giving him thanks. Thanks and praise go hand in hand. Psalm 147, verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to God on the lyre. The verse I read out of Hebrews 13, 15 a moment ago says that we are to give the fruit of lips that gives thanks to his name. That's the sacrifice of praise. Praise and thanksgiving goes hand in hand. Praise is praising God for who he is. Thanksgiving is praising God or thanking him for what God has given to us. Either way you look at it, it's pointed back to God to give him the praise that he alone deserves. Fourthly, these psalms at the end of the book of Psalms teach us that I'm to praise him with a new song. A new song. Now, I mentioned that a little bit Sunday, but I want to show you something else here. Psalm 149, verse 1, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Well, some people read that and they go, well, I'd rather sing the old songs. Well, there's nothing wrong with the old songs, but it's to be a new song. And again, you check me out and see if I didn't tell you right Sunday. Every time singing in heaven is mentioned, it's always a new song. The emphasis here, again, is not just on the singing. He's already told us that. The emphasis here is on the new. So what does that mean? It means that we are singing what God is doing new in our lives. In other words, what that means is that God is so working in your life that you ought to be able to sing a new song to him about what he's doing in you. Do you understand what I mean? I'll give you an example. One of my favorite verses of scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation or a new creature. Old things passed away, behold what? New things come." Now, if you have been saved for any length of time, God has been working in you new things. If you say you are saved and you're the same old you were 50 years ago, you never got saved. Amen or on me? God's always doing something new in me. As long as we're on this side of eternity, we'll never get to the point that God doesn't do something new in me. And as a result of his new work in my life, it ought to put a new song in my heart. That's the thought behind it. We ought to be able to sing God's praises to him for all that he is doing in our hearts and in our lives. Now, so you can take an old song and do that, because sometimes the words talk about what God's doing in your life new. But boy, so much, and I appreciate from one deeply a lot of the new music that comes out today that teaches us to sing from the heart, because it gets to bring God praise for what he's doing deep down in our hearts and our lives. Revelation 21:5, "And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new." Fifthly tonight, I am to praise him in the congregation. Verse 1 of Psalm 149, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the congregation to his godly ones." Hey, it's special to praise God on your own. But you know what is even maybe more special than that? To join your hearts with the people of God and to sing God's praises together. Man, there is nothing that blesses me more than to hear a congregation who praises God with their voice together. You can't do that if you're not walking in unity. You can't do that if you're not there. But God is well pleased. And there's verses in your notes tonight you can go look at. I don't have time to deal with all that, but two more things and I'll finish. But he loves us praising him in the congregation. Number 6 tonight, here's a good one. I'm to praise God by dancing. That's what it says. Psalm 149, verse 3, "Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and lyre." Psalm 150, verse 4, just to make sure you didn't miss it. "Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipes." You ever thought about praising God with dancing? Well, that's not that ain't very Baptist. Hey, folks, I learned something a long time ago. I hope you've learned this. There's not many times that we have to choose between being biblical and Baptist, but I will pick biblical anytime over Baptist, okay? And dancing is one of those areas that's almost a ticker if you're of the older generation, like Richard. Dance is one of those things you just was a no-no. And can I tell you tonight, this is not talking about a sensual type of dance. And can I tell you tonight, we're not talking about going down to the nightclub and dancing. And I have a hard time believing you could do that unto the Lord because of all that's going on. But there are times that people, listen to me, there are times that people become so overwhelmed in the presence of God that the only thing they can do is dance in his presence. You can even do that to praise his name. I don't have time tonight. Go read it. 2 Samuel 6, verses 12 to 21. David, when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, he danced before the Lord because of the presence of God. In Exodus 15, 19 to 21, as God brought victory over the Pharaoh, some of those in the nation of Israel danced before the Lord out of gratefulness for what God had done for them. Psalm 30, verses 11, 10 and 11, "Hear, O Lord, be gracious to me, O Lord, my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." And there have been times that I've watched people in worship when they were so overwhelmed with the presence of God that the only thing they could do is what we would call dance before the Lord. I don't know what you call it, but that's what they were doing. Sometimes we need to get past being afraid to express ourselves in some matters. And you certainly have to be mindful of other matters in this. But folks, when God's presence shows up, you don't know how you're going to respond sometimes. Here's the last thing. Makes it clear all through these Psalms. I am to praise Him with instruments. Psalm 149, verse 3, "Let them praise His name with dancing. Let them sing praises to Him with timbrel and lyre." Psalm 153:5, "Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with string instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals." By the way, God likes His praise loud. When I went to Tennessee to pastor, only time I've ever been somewhere where Baptists were not the majority, at least of the Protestants that were in that area. And I was in an area where the Church of Christ were their prominent denomination. Didn't know a whole lot about Church of Christ. And in a lot of ways, they have a lot of things right, but there was one thing that they had deadly wrong. If you know anything about Church of Christ, you ever go to one of their churches to worship, you will notice that there are no instruments. They sing everything acapulco, or whatever it is, a cappella. They say that the Bible does not teach using instruments in worship. Well, I got news for them. They don't believe the Old Testament, because the Bible is full of verses about the Old Testament using instruments. And you know what? I remember reading one day in the book of Revelation, and they're in heaven, the saints of God praising God. They're around a throne with a harp praising God. And I think I know pretty much that a harp is an instrument. And if it was all right for them to do it in Old Testament times, and if it's all right for us to do it in eternity, I can assure you it's okay for us to use instruments to praise God. In fact, God, I believe, desires it. Well, here's how I'm going to end tonight. I'm 2 minutes over, but I'm going to finish this. I took all five Psalms, and I put together one Psalm. Here it is. You won't write it down, so just listen. This is not adding to God's Word. It's taking God's Word and combining it. I want to make sure I'm clear on that, okay? Here it is. This is what I believe these Psalms are saying to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is becoming. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you stand to your feet with me? Together, let's say it. Praise the Lord. And God, may that be the desire of our heart. You have been so good to us. You are so worthy of our praises. May we give you the praise that you and you alone deserve and delight in. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.